Welcome to Radio Free Nintendo, our fourth episode. Evan is out this week. I think he was mauled by a bear in the wonderful state of Oregon. So joining me instead this week to co-host is Chris Kohler of Wired Blog's Game Life.
Hi, everybody.
And this week we're sort of talking about Wii rumors. It's Wii rumor week on Radio Free Nintendo. We're going to talk about downloads, release date, price, all sorts of things, and we're going to touch a little on how the date of August 3rd is going to be the most incredible day to play games in Japan.
And Wallets and Cry Day.
Yeah. And I'm your other host, Mike. I think I neglected to mention that earlier. So our first topic is all the things you're going to be able to download on the Wii.
Mm-hmm.
We got the Virtual Console, which is looking cooler every time we see it.
Yes, the Virtual Console is quite awesome. Especially with the unveiling of TurboGrafx-16 games and Genesis games, and it's just kind of like they have got such a phenomenal catalog that I'm not going to say Xbox Live Arcade is in trouble, but all they've really got to do is let's think about bare minimum on day one. If they have three of the best games for every one of those five consoles,
yeah,
that library just automatically blows away Xbox Live Arcade's current library.
Yeah, except for Geometry Wars. I mean, really, are you going to play the million other Robotron clones that are on Xbox Live Arcade?
Well, it's kind of like, yeah, Geometry Wars is great. You know, Street Fighter 2 is going to get huge, huge, huge traffic. It's not even, it's like barely working now on the debug Xboxes, and I'm addicted to it. I keep logging on to check to see if anybody else is online testing it out. It runs at like half speed, but it's so great. Those games are fantastic, but going up against a system that's going to come out with Mario 64, Super Mario Brothers, The Legend of Zelda, Sonic the Hedgehog, Bonk's Adventure, and God knows what else they're going to have planned for day one. Just in terms of quantity alone, it's going to be huge.
I'm hoping they get some more third-party support for the system, because right now it's, I can play a lot of Nintendo games from Nintendo, and I can play Genesis games and TurboGrafx games, but I want to play Mega Man 2 and Mega Man X and, all those great old Castlevania games and everything that came out of Capcom and Konami back in the day.
Right. I think that third parties are definitely interested. I mean, certainly if Hudson is really interested and Sega is really interested, then Capcom is going to be very interested. Konami is going to really want to get in on this. I think the thing is, I mean, Capcom is clearly into the idea because they got Street Fighter and Xbox Live Arcade. Midway is certainly into the idea because of Robotron. Namco Bandai certainly, wants in on this. I think that the restrictions on Xbox Live Arcade have been why they have not jumped in, if I may use the phrase, more robust library of titles.
Now, what do you mean by restrictions?
They can't just take their old arcade games and toss them onto Xbox Live Arcade. They've got to add leaderboards this and netcode that, and they've got to add all sorts of things. And it's got to run in a 720p widescreen, which as far as like Pac-Man and Galaga gets you, they have to build a whole sort of a background thing, and you've got to be able to resize it to fit your screen dimensions and this and that. And it's just kind of like, well, you don't need to do that with a virtual console. You need the ROM that you can download off the internet.
It's straight emulation, and it's going to be better than any emulation you may have played on your computer. Not that I'm condoning such behavior.
It's like if you don't have the source code for your game, whatever. You're not going in there and like hacking netcode into it. You're just taking the game, throwing it on there. They're going to emulate it, and you're done. So instead of having to sit there and like work up one or two of your major games, you can take your entire library of NES games and throw them on there. And really, it's not that's not the restriction. The restriction is only when do we want to bring out certain games. Obviously, Nintendo doesn't want to take every single game they've ever done and throw it onto the virtual console immediately, because there's a lot of potential money to be made in doling them out, one by one, but in packages, and sort of like having a Zelda week or something like that, or Zelda month, where every week a new Zelda game gets released, and you can continue to, I mean, they've seen all of the press that Microsoft gets every time they release like one virtual console or Xbox Live Arcade game, so they have a lot of potential there for a lot of press coverage of these games if they do it one by one. At the same time, though, they know that their advantage is volume.
I think the biggest problem that other third-party companies are going to face is not getting it done, is that it's getting Nintendo to sign off on it, I think, is going to be a bigger problem for them.
Getting to sign off on what?
Well, I don't know. It just seems like, I guess we have Sega and TurboGrafx games, but those are Sega's games, you know, for the Genesis, and it seems to me like Nintendo might be sort of stingy or saying, you know, oh, well, we don't want your game, it's not up to our quality standards kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, I don't know about that. I mean, certainly Nintendo is going to want to exert a level of quality control that even some games that shipped on the NES might not be really appropriate for this. But at the same time, I really can't think of any game. I mean, most of the games that were really awful were licensed games anyway, and those aren't going to happen on Virtual Console.
Yeah, no one's going to put out their crap games, really, when you think about it. No one's going to go putting out MC Kids on the Virtual Console because no one's going to download it and play it.
And, I mean, there's rights issues, you know, to go along with that, that I don't think McDonald's would, you know, if they don't... No, seriously, I mean, if they don't want their product represented in that way anymore, you know, McDonald's would be like, well, you know, why is the McRib a power-up? We don't sell the McRib anymore. That has to be, or whatever.
Maybe you could only play the game...
That's be a salad.
Like, if you only play the game every couple of months when the McRib is available, maybe that would work.
Yeah. Can you have the fries replaced with apple slices?
And then there's the whole idea of indie games being on the Virtual Console.
Right. Which is happening. I mean, I think that was really passed over at GDC in favor of the bigger, more immediate announcements of Hudson and Sega. But Iwata said, right, I mean, that you're going to be able to develop brand new games for the Wii Virtual Console.
That's fantastic, because then you might get something like Geometry Wars.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the best of both worlds.
It absolutely is. And actually, interestingly enough, and I was thinking about this today, Nintendo can count on more storage in every Wii, more internal storage for these games than Microsoft can. Right now, one of the restrictions on Xbox Live Arcade, and I'm sure this is going to be lifted at some point, but every game has to be 64 megabytes or less, because it has to fit onto a memory card.
I did not know that.
So Nintendo actually having half a gig of storage in the Wii can make games that are over 64. I'm not saying they're going to make half a gig Virtual Console games, but at the same time they can count on much, much more in terms of the space there. So I mean, there's no real reason why somebody couldn't make a 100 meg game for the Wii Virtual Console, you know, twice as much effectively.
If they're coding it for, you know, SNES or NES level power, that's going to take up, you know, like less than a megabyte. So
right. Oh yeah,
you know,
true.
That thing's got infinite storage practically. If all you were going to do is download NES games, you would never fill up half a gig.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to do that though. I don't think they're actually going to make new games that look like NES games. I think they're going to be able to sort of not maximize the Wii power, obviously, but if you look at, like, Virtual Console, or, excuse me, if you look at Xbox Live Arcade, they're not doing games that are in, you know, pixelated 8-bit style. They're using polygons. They're 3D games. They're not up to, you know, that level, but, I mean, if Marble Blast Ultra, looking like a PC game from 1998, can take off on the Xbox Live Arcade, and you don't have anybody complaining about, oh, the graphics, whatever, then, you know, Wii is even better for it. Ultimately, Xbox is, as a delivery vessel for classic games and smaller games, is an awfully bloated piece of hardware. I mean, you know, it's great that you can play Joust on it, but why would you want to spend $400 to play Joust?
Yeah.
You know, it's an added bonus, but you're not going to buy the system exclusively for that. And so Nintendo could, you know, I mean, people would spend $149, $199, whatever Wii is going to be priced at, for the ability to just download and play Super Mario games.
Oh,
that
totally.
Is a fine price just for that feature alone. And that's not even counting what I'm really excited about, which is the ability to download demos and then for the DS and ping those over to the DS wirelessly.
When that came over the wire, I was extremely excited. I mean, it seems like something you would expect them to do anyway, but now that it's official, you know, I'm very excited about being able to download new content for my DS games or demos for upcoming DS games months ahead of time, and instead of having to walk to the store and go to the DS download station, because those things are only refreshed, like, I think, once every month at the most.
Sure. You say it's something that you expected them to do. Actually, I didn't expect Nintendo to do it at all. Nintendo has always had up until recently, Nintendo has had a very anti-demo stance. I think they have been very convinced that the reason that you didn't see a lot of demo discs on the GameCube isn't really because, you know, they were afraid of Lord knows what. They were afraid of people not buying enough games because of demo discs. And traditionally, you know, if you release a demo disc of something, it'll get people to buy a game. But also, if you give a demo disc out to too many people, they actually buy fewer games because they're entertained with what you've actually just given
right.
them. And so it's interesting to see Nintendo sort of embracing now this strategy and going really, I mean, with a download center, I could, you know, that seemed more typical Nintendo because, you know, you're in a store. But with, you know, it right there in your home, it's just so fantastic. You know, there's no possibility of buying the DS game right there out of your house.
Well, you know what it is? I bet they really don't care because once you turn off that DS, that demo is gone, and I doubt that it's going to I doubt it's going to be stored on the Wii's internal memory. You know, if you want to play it again, you're probably going to have to re-download the whole thing because it'll probably download it, send it over, and then erase it from the Wii right away. So it's not really something you can just pop in and play anytime you want.
Right. Yeah. I doubt that you'd want it on. I doubt that you'd really want it on your Wii that long, just because of you know, it's not really going to be doing anything for you. Mm-hmm. You know, you just want it on your DS. Maybe you can keep it there. But yeah. But then again, it wouldn't be that big of a deal to just re-download it if you wanted it again. What I think the strategy here is they know that at least in Japan, they have a really, really good chance of success, especially if they are able to capitalize on the DS's success.
Oh,
and
yeah.
If they can make the Wii seem like an accessory for the DS, that's it. You know, that's a lot of money in the bank right there.
It's like DS now for your television.
Yeah, basically. And, you know, telling people, I mean, if they were to tell Japan, no, hey, if you want to get the demo of Brain Training 3, you can get it first by buying a Wii and downloading it that way.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a very smart thing for them to do.
And then next up on our list is all this speculation about what's going to happen when the Wii releases. You know, when is it going to release and how much are they going to sell it for? I guess people are now saying October 2nd. What's the story behind that?
Yeah, I actually almost kind of fell for that as well, because you know, I saw that GameStop release date list, and it was games from a lot of different companies, and I'm like, why would, you know, THQ and Bandai and Activision or whatever, you know, all have the same random placeholder date? But then I realized, okay, well, one, Red Steel is supposed to be a launch title, and that didn't have the October 2nd date, and two, there was another list on which, like, every major Xbox 360 game that's supposed to come out in October had an October 2nd release date.
Yeah, that's
so
how
I'm
they
like,
do it.
Oh, okay. This is just something random that's been applied to the release date list by GameStop or whatever, just for bookkeeping purposes.
Yeah,
or whatever
these companies,
it is.
GameStop and EB, they've done this forever. Where if they know a game is coming out in October, they will just mark it for like the first weekday in October, or, you know, October 2nd in this case. Or if they know it's coming out in late October, they'll usually mark it for October 15th. I mean, that's been happening since basically forever. But what really tipped me off to this being obviously bogus is that the date's not a Sunday. And Nintendo has always launched their hardware on Sundays, ever since the GameCube and maybe before.
I believe they wanted to bring out the Nintendo 64 originally on September 30th, which is the last possible day they could bring it out and still make a September launch date they've been promising. And a lot of people brought up that September 30th was a Monday, and so they bumped it back to the 29th so it wouldn't be on a school day. And then, unfortunately, they shipped out all the systems really early, and everybody got theirs on Thursday, and the launch date streak date got broken. That was the last time that a street date got broken for a major console launch.
What?
Was the Nintendo 64 4 days early.
Until a week ago.
Until a week ago, people started getting their DS Lite. But actually, the thing is, the DS Lite street date was not officially broken. Like, Nintendo authorized people to sell their N64s because stores were just doing it. Like, the EB Games was located across, not the street, across on the mall from where KB Toys was, and KB Toys nationally just started selling them. So now EB Games calls up Nintendo, and they're like, you know, we've got stores across from us selling the systems that we have here. You know, can we sell them? And Nintendo authorized all stores to sell them, which has not happened with the DS Lite.
It's not going to
happen. That's just people being dumb. Yeah,
the DS Lite thing was just sort of like, it didn't happen. It happened nationwide, but it didn't happen, you know, at the same, it didn't happen at every Target, you know?
Right. And Nintendo never authorized it either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they just don't care because the DS is already out. It's just an upgraded piece of hardware.
That Nintendo doesn't care?
Well, they don't care. They don't care as much because it's not like, you know, it's not the original launch of the system. It's just an updated version. So somehow it's slightly less important to keep the street date tight.
Yeah, true. I don't think that they, they do generally want an accurate count of how many systems sold on the first day. They want to be able to say, you know, oh, we sold X, you know, amount of, of consoles on day one. But I don't really think it's that big of an issue. Anyway, back to what you were talking about, which was the launch date being on a Sunday. It certainly could ship in October. This would be an interesting indication that it might ship in that month.
Yes.
Nintendo has also kind of said, they've said that they want to launch before Thanksgiving, of course, but they might want to get out way in front of Sony, because if they launch, especially coming off of E3, in which they've gotten the attention of a lot of different news outlets already with Wii, and they're really taking the launch of the system very seriously, they want that launch out in front of the PlayStation 3's launch. They can get all their own media coverage, so they're not relegated to, like, the fifth paragraph in a story about the PlayStation 3 where it's like, you know, Rifle Maker Nintendo also launched a console that nobody cares about.
Yeah, I think that's definitely a big factor pulling them if they're going to launch earlier than, you know, their usual launch date for a big piece of hardware is the Sunday before Black Friday. Mm-hmm. And I think wanting to beat Sony, because what was Sony launching? November 17th or something?
Something like that.
And I think that's maybe a week before that, what Nintendo's typical date is. So I would not be surprised if Nintendo, you know, goes out for a little October surprise and we get the system a little earlier.
Yeah, if they can do it. I mean, I think it really all depends on the launch games that they have, and if the Red Steel team says we're done, or if they say, you know what, another month would really help this game along, then they would position the launch date there.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to have any problem with, like, chip yields or anything like that.
No. Yeah. It's like, ATI's like, we can't make these chips. They're too close to the GameCube chips. We make them for 5 years. We don't know what to do. Yeah, they're going to be okay.
Well, there's that other rumor about the ATI chip that said it's going to do all this really incredible stuff, but I think that's BS.
Nope. How dare you even mention that?
Yeah, that's like saying, oh, well, actually, the Wii really has, you know, 12 cores, but they just haven't said it yet.
That there's magical rainbows and unicorns inside the Wii that just create the images inside of your head.
No, that's the PlayStation 9. Don't you remember?
Yeah, that's what's inside the Wii. It's a PlayStation 9. They've really miniaturized it very well. No, that's not true. The strategy that Nintendo says the strategy that Nintendo says they're going with is the strategy that they are going with.
Yeah. I mean, the graphics are certainly going to look better than they looked at E3, but it's going to be, you know, marginal. Yeah.
It is. It is going to be marginal. They are going to look better because they were sort of slapping those Wii demos together as quickly as they could to get them out there. But not that much better. And Zelda will look better. Zelda won't look identical to the GameCube version. They are going to, even if it's just 480p widescreen, but they are going to. It is going to have a graphical bump over the GameCube version.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's the strategy they're going with. If that disgusts people, then they need to buy an Xbox 360 or they need to buy a PlayStation 3.
Yeah, I mean, well, I know everyone on the Gaming Age forums is buying a Wii and an Xbox 360, apparently.
Wii 60.
Yeah.
The console of the future. I'm going to buy them all. I pretty much have to. There's no way that I could not buy a PS3. But at the same time, if I was, Joe Average Gamer right now and it had nothing to do with my work, I would really seriously have to consider whether I want to put the $600 into the PS3 and whether it's going to have the content to justify that purchase, or whether it wouldn't just make sense to wait. wait until the price drops and wait until there's games that I really, really want on it.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the price drop on the 360 because, well, I mean, it'll happen eventually and I don't need one ASAP. But for the Wii, I'll buy that on day one. It's going to be $199. I will be shocked if it costs anything other than $199.
Right. Yeah, and Nintendo has said, people are kind of weird about this because Nintendo has said, yeah, it's going to be under 25,000 yen, which is the equivalent of, and under $250.
Yeah.
And I think that they are being very, because they know that they have an advantage with price announcements, that they can come out and really shock people with a price in a good way, not in a PS3 way. And so they understand that if they kind of say, well, it's definitely going to be under this now, then they come out later and say, not only is it under $250, it's more like $199.
Yeah.
I don't see where they would want to price it over $200 in the U.S., just because, A, that puts it really, really close to the 360 core pack, and it just makes no sense why they would want to do that. And number two, in Japan, 25,000 yen is not really $250. It's more like about $230. And even that, Nintendo figures the tax into their prices in Japan. And so that's $230 after tax.
Yeah.
So really what you're talking about is something that's more like
$200.
You know, $200, right, yeah, you know, $210 or whatever. And considering things are generally slightly more expensive in Japan, I mean, the DS Lite, what is, I think, $150 there anyway.
That's because they'll pay for it.
They will pay for it. They absolutely will. Nintendo has no reason to price it any cheaper because they can't keep them in stores. They could have priced that thing at $199.
Yeah.
And I think that the only reason that they didn't is because they don't want too much of a price discrepancy between Japan and the U.S.
And they don't want, yeah, bad image.
Right. Well, yeah, true. I suppose. I just think they don't want too much of a price discrepancy between Japan and the U.S. because you have a lot of people asking a lot of questions about why is it $199 in Japan and $129 in the U.S. In the U.S., it needs to be much, much, much cheaper than Japan, and it is because they have much stronger competition here.
Yeah. PlayStation Portable still does well here. So.
Yeah, it does. This is where Sony is winning, so to speak, in the portable market.
I wouldn't necessarily say winning. I mean, the DS is still a really strong hold on America.
True. The PSP has kind of got that the mind share, though. You know, people's perception of what a portable gaming system is has sort of transferred over from Game Boy to PSP and kind of skipped over DS. The PSP has that cultural cachet that DS lacks here in the U.S. In Japan, totally different story.
Yeah.
But the thing about... I kind of feel... And I'm not really sure about this, but I think we will see in the future if this is the case, that the DS's biggest enemy right now in terms of limiting its potential in the U.S. is not the PSP, it's the Game Boy Advance. And that Nintendo might really need to start kind of killing off the Game Boy Advance in the U.S.
And they are.
And they very much are. And hoping that that market... Because right now, DS and Game Boy Advance are roughly equal. Like PSP, DS, Game Boy Advance, if you look month to month to month, they're taking about a third of the market each, roughly. I think Game Boy Advance is actually above DS and PSP. But if the Game Boy Advance audience, which, let's be honest here, it's small children, you know?
Yeah, that we did a whole segment on that last week.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And if that, okay. Finishing my thought, if that transfers over to DS, then, you know, that's what Nintendo wants to happen.
Yeah. Our next topic is back on the Wii is the profiles and faces that you're going to be able to create. And I know we had mentioned this in our interview with Mr. Tezuka back at E3, but apparently nobody read it, and Chris got all the press for it, like, last week.
I didn't get any press for it. I don't really think I didn't exactly have people rushing over.
I thought you hit the front page of Dig with that, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you did.
Oh, well, then I beat you. Yeah, I guess nobody read it. And honestly, but I read that interview, and it didn't have all the information that
I
had.
No, yeah, you certainly have more in there. All we had was that you're going to be able to make faces and that it's going to tie to the hardware, but it's expanded out with yours.
Yeah, but it was just kind of funny that I, for the longest time, the reason that I didn't, because obviously it's been a good month since that interview, the reason that I didn't put it up was because I thought that you guys had all the information that I had and that it was in your Tezuka interview. Because the day I did that Eguchi interview, then he told me about this stuff, and I'm like, wow, it just got a major exclusive. And then literally the next day, when I saw you guys in the media room after your Tezuka interview, you were talking about that. I'm like, oh, well, whatever, because these guys are going to have this up faster than I can get it up. And so I was just like, okay, this is no longer exclusive. And then I read your, then I saw other articles like speculating, like, ooh, I wonder what this is going to be like. And I reread your interview. I'm like, oh, well, there's info that they didn't get. So I'm like, okay, I didn't even transcribe the whole interview. I just went and I just grabbed that little portion of it and threw it up there.
Right.
But it is really cool. I mean, the fact that you're going to be, it's very much identical to what, you know, Xbox offers, and that you can make your own profiles and put user info in them. And then, but I think that they really want to have the games grab that information automatically. And so what I'm hoping is going to happen, is that like with tennis, your name is automatically going to pop up. If it's you playing tennis, you know, your face, your name, and then you can store, what if you could store like, you know, 10 profiles on the Wii, and now we've got, you know, you, your mom, your dad, all your friends. And then somebody was mentioning storing a profile temporarily in a controller. So you bring the controller over to your friend's house. Sorry?
That's bull.
Yeah. So then you have your face and your name and your everything in your controller, and so you bring it over to your friend's house, and so you're not swapping memory cards or SD cards, actually, as the case may be. You don't have to have an SD card. You can just sort of flash it onto the controller, bring it over there, and now you've got you and your buddy in a tennis game or a fighting game or a flight game or whatever.
Well, it'd be really handy for Smash Brothers. Because I know, I'd be really handy for Smash Brothers. Because you know, when we play Smash Brothers, where I am, you got to put your name in because you got to keep track of all the statistics and stuff.
Oh, of course, yeah. We do the same thing. Yeah, you know, what if there was a character in Smash Brothers that was just a blank template, like it was a Create a Fighter kind of thing.
A Wii Sports character.
You could throw, and you could throw your face on it. Or if they used maybe, you know, if you pick Mr. Game & Watch, you can put your face on him. Or something like that. That I'd like to see. Oh, also, Nintendo said that they would have pre-made character templates for people with no artistic ability.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if they'll take the Miyamoto or the Reggie and kind of throw them in there, too.
Oh, God, I hope so.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll be unlockable if you play so much Wii Tennis.
Right. Yeah, that's one of the advantages, because I can't imagine a similar system really happening with Xbox 360. They sort of did with PlayStation 2. Have you seen Sony's the iToy Cameo feature?
No.
It you sort of sit yourself in front of the iToy, line your face up with a with an outline of a head on the screen. Then you press the X button, and then you slowly turn your head to the right. It's basically like a rudimentary facial feature capture. You slowly turn your head to the right, takes a bunch of pictures of your head in front and then three quarters, then profile. And then what you do is you sort of line up dots with, you know, put this dot where the corner of your eye is, put this dot where the corners of your mouth are. And so you do all of that, and once you've done it, it sits there for like literally 5 minutes, and it loads and loads and loads, and it creates a 3D polygonal version of your head that
That's
you can
really
then
cool.
apply emotions and stuff like that to. I'm sure that they're going to do that a lot more with the PS3. So
yeah.
It's not as if Nintendo came up with this concept or has a monopoly on it, but it's certainly going to be a lot easier to do on the Wii and produce much more cartoonish results.
Yeah, and our last topic for the day is how every gamer in Japan is going to have to empty his wallet on August 3rd because three fantastic games are coming out. Well, two fantastic games and one game that might not be so hot are coming out.
What game might not be so hot?
Star Fox DS. I'm not too keen
on really?
It.
Oh.
It's fun, but it's not, like, amazing. And then the other two games are Super Paper Mario, which I think we've mentioned on every episode of this podcast so far, and the rhythm game from the creators of WarioWare, Rhythm Heaven. I don't remember the Japanese title.
Rhythm Tengoku, which
just
translates to Rhythm Heaven. Yeah. That came out of nowhere. That was like, hey, the WarioWare guys are making a music game. It's like, well, how can this not be like the Game Boy Advance game of the year? You know? I'm calling it right now. Like, I often find myself in the position of, like, I get into a little cult game, and then, like, everybody gets into it, like, oh, Guitar Hero, whatever, Owendon. And I just have to be, you know, sitting in the corner going, well, I knew that was cool way before you guys did. So I wanted to just come out right right now and have official, written and spoken evidence game of the year, Like, I really think this is going to be hot.
Well, what's it competing with? Like, Lizzie McGuire 4 and, that kind of
exactly.
stuff?
Yeah, it's competing with nothing, and hopefully the translation won't really require that much of a that much work, and maybe Nintendo will bring it over to the U.S. But it doesn't even matter because August 3rd, that's when I kind of feel bad, like we all like Nate and Bill from Nintendo of America and their fantastic localization squadron. I haven't played a lot of their games in English, and like they'll be like, oh yeah, it's Super or Paper Mario Thousand Year Door was one of the best things we ever did, and it's so funny. And I'm like, oh yeah, I played that in Japanese. It's like it came out 2 months before. I mean, I had to go and buy that one. Super Paper Mario, are they nuts? Like, do they seriously think I'm just going to sit on my hands and wait for Super Paper Mario to come out in the U.S.? No, I'm buying that thing as soon as it hits Japan. I'll have my pre-order into Play Asia or Licksong or what have you. And get it immediately. And maybe not Star Fox, because that comes out on August 28th in the U.S.
Yeah, I'd
but
wait for
also
that.
Definitely Rhythm Heaven. Like, between Super Paper Mario and Rhythm Heaven, like, don't call me, don't email me the week of August 3rd. I'm done.
And I guess we are done with this podcast for the week. We amazingly, every single time I do this, I think, oh, we're never going to have enough to talk about. And we've now spilled over 30 minutes.
Well, thanks, everybody, for hanging in there.
Yeah, thanks to Chris Kohler, once again, from Wired Blogs Game Life.
Did I say anything that's at all interesting?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Be sure to keep checking Planet GameCube for all the latest news. Check Chris's blog, and don't forget to send in your questions for, listener mail or comments or complaints, anything you might want to say about the podcast to podcast@planetgamecube.com, and we will see you again next week.
Laters. We'll